Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Wendy's Big Show, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48, and he joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're live out here at the new Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin Experience Center. Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, appreciate the time as always, man. First off, your reaction to the 80-yard field debacle you saw last night.
Well, I'm just hoping that you didn't have to shorten your show to 80% today, did you? I mean, you're still full field, full show. What a joke. I mean, what an embarrassment that was for the league. And I remember vividly standing on the field in Canton 2016 for the Hall of Fame game and what an absolute colossal mess that was and thinking, this will never happen again. Like, this is a learning point for the league. They're going to learn from this, and it's not going to happen again. And lo and behold, not only did they have to take a game out of Mexico City last year, a regular season game, but here it is happening to the Packers again. And the thing I don't understand is, like, this game was scheduled for Canada for months. It's not a surprise that it was in Winnipeg. It's also not a surprise that the CFL is in Winnipeg. How did they not, before showing up, figure, hey, the CFL has some funky goalposts. They're in different spots. We should probably get that taken care of. It just seemed like it surprised people, and that just shouldn't have happened. So, I mean, it completely warped the Packers' third preseason game plans. They were going to play Aaron Rodgers in the starters. They were going to debut that offense. There was a lot of stuff that they were going to do that they didn't get to do. And the worst part of it, frankly, is, you know, you're the NFL, and you're trying to show your game globally across borders, and that's a noble cause. It's a great thing for the league, but that's the product that you give fans in Winnipeg that don't get to see the game up close, an 80-yard field. I mean, it's just an embarrassment.
You know, we talk about that game last night, and none of the starters pretty much playing for the Packers. Most of them didn't even get on the plane for the Raiders, I don't think, to even get to Canada to play that game. How much of a negative impact do you think it's going to possibly be on this offense, not having had the running backs really play, not having their quarterback really play this entire preseason?
Well, let's, you know, just be clear. The quarterback much more than the running backs. The running backs, the transition's a lot easier, obviously. There's a reason why Matt LaFleur was going to play the starters, including Aaron Rodgers, last night, because there's things that you can simulate in that setting that it's just really difficult and maybe impossible to do the same in a practice setting. And when you look at it, Chicago week one, that's coming up. That's we've talked about it before. That's a really difficult test under the best circumstances. Going to the Bears, probably the best defensive league, in a night game on the road. Under the best circumstances, that is a really difficult test. And this not having your offense, your full offense for the entire preseason, is most decidedly not the best circumstances. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably going to have an effect.
You know, we were asked a question, can you explain to us why one end zone was okay and the other end zone wasn't?
Is that the case? Because that wasn't my understanding.
Okay, what was your understanding?
That both end zones were a problem. They had two patches on the where the CFL goalposts were,
right,
that were both an issue, and it was both end zones. That's why they had to make on both sides the goal line, the 10-yard line. It was not like they were using one end zone and not the other. You know, it was interesting watching the I wasn't in Canada, so I was watching from home,
okay,
and watching the Packers pregame show. They did a kind of a package on Davante Adams, and the first play, he's literally catching the touchdown in the middle of the end zone, basically right where that spot is. I mean, that spot is just unavoidable. And you know, Aaron Rodgers is not going to probably be on that spot because it's, you know, the middle of the end zone, and it'd be like a run or something. But you can't have Davante Adams rolling something 2 weeks. I mean, you know, it's an unavoidable spot for a lot of guys. So, you know, that's why they made the decision. But I think it was both end zones.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan, what did you see out of the guys that were able to play last night, though? In particular, right off the bat, Tim Boyle gets that start and takes advantage of it, played big time well in that first half.
Yeah, he really did. You know, he had a slow start. I think he was one for his first six. And then it was almost like the light bulb went on and he realized, hey, there's two guys, and especially one guy, that have a mismatch on the field and just keep going to them. And then the guy was obviously Trevor Davis, probably the star of the night. And Jay Kumerow, you know, he had a good game as well, as he tends to do. And as he kind of got going, I think Tim Boyle clearly took the lead in this backup quarterback race. There's still one week left to play, but what we saw from Tim Boyle last night, I don't know if he can win a game if Aaron Rodgers is hurt, but he's getting closer to that point. And we can't say the same about DeShone Kizer. I mean, I don't think anyone can feel good about DeShone Kizer's chances of carrying the load for a week at this point with what we've seen. That's probably the best thing Tim Boyle has going for him with all the numbers that he's been able to put up and all that, is that his close competitor has not been doing the same. So, it was a good night for Tim Boyle, no doubt.
What roster battles are there still to be had here going into the last preseason game now through 3 weeks, do you think?
Well, just keep in mind that it's not just position by position, but it's across all positions. Like, do they keep five running backs? Do they keep four tight ends? Do they keep seven receivers or six? Do they keep 9, 10 offensive linemen? Like, those are the questions, and you add one or you take one away, and it changes everything else across the board. So that, to me, is going to be the most interesting thing. I'm sure that in an ideal world, they keep five running backs, four tight ends, seven receivers, 10 offensive linemen, six defensive linemen, six outside linebackers, and maybe even four specialists. Maybe even they keep both kickers. But that you don't get to 53 by doing that. So those are where the tough decisions are going to be. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they come down and how they put together this roster.
No, it really is. And you start talking about, you look at the tight ends. I mean, to me, Tonyan has probably had the best camp out of all the tight ends. I mean, I haven't even seen Mercedes Lewis. I mean, do they keep him?
Well, Mercedes Lewis is here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to block.
Right.
You know?
Can they just have a guy to block?
That's the question. That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, that could be a luxury. Okay. Let's put it this way. An offense can live and move past and go on without having just a blocking tight end. I mean, you can still have a good offense in this league. So is that just a luxury? I mean, you know, I think that would be very interesting if they want to add to another position by one. If you subtract the blocking tight end, that's why I think Mercedes Lewis is on the bubble. He was brought here to block. He can block. It just depends on how badly they want a blocking tight end in this offense.
All right, so what about Trey Carson or Dexter Williams?
Well, Matt LaFleur just said Trey Carson was ahead of Dexter Williams.
Oh.
And he said that the reason was because Trey Carson has a better knowledge of basically what to do, but especially in pass protection. And pass blocking pickups.
So that means Aaron Rodgers.
He also said, though, that Dexter Williams had probably his best run as a Packer it was called back for holding, but
yep.
The run where he pressed the outside to the left and he set up his blocker. He showed some promising signs of improvement. So, I honestly think five are in play. Just not. I mean, he's a sixth-round pick and he's got a big adjustment. Trey Carson's done enough, you know, as good as he's been in pass blocking. Trey Carson, the third down conversion that he had last night in the screen game, where he kind of went inside and then set up his blockers to the outside, that's a really good play. I mean, to show from a running back standpoint that you can be a contributor in the pass game, that's a good thing to show. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep four tailbacks and a fullback. They give him five running backs.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show, a couple of more minutes here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. As you look, Ryan, then on the defensive side of the football, if they are going to keep that many running backs, they are going to keep, if they end up with Mercedes Lewis there, and six or seven wide receivers. Now the injury to EQ opens up that spot as well. Where do they lose the spot? Do they go light on the defensive line? Are they going to go light on inside backers? Where do they supplement that for?
That's what I'd like to know. That's what I'll be looking for. You know, keep in mind that with Equanimeous St. Brown, if they do put him on IR, they have to first put him on the initial 53.
Yep, he's got to make
the
53.
They can't just put him on IR. With that said, if it's 4 to 6 weeks, it's 2 weeks to week one, that's 2 to 4 weeks, really. He very well could not go to IR and just be a part of the non-active game day 46 roster, just be one of the seven that they keep inactive for a few weeks. So I think that'll be an interesting decision to see which way they go with that.
Do you think Jamon Moore can make it to the practice squad? Because we were talking about this earlier, and Leroy was like, body type and everything else, there's no way they sneak him through because there's not a lot of positive tape on this dude right now.
I think he definitely could make it to the practice squad. My thing is, would it behoove the Packers, or especially Jamon Moore, to stay in Green Bay? And the reason for that is, if you look at Jamon Moore, I mean, if ever there's a guy that just seems like he needs a change of scenery to get his confidence back, like, the issue with Jamon Moore is not his size, it's not his speed, his length, his strength. Physically, he's there, just he's got to rebuild his confidence. And that's huge at the receiving position. I think you can see that in his struggles catching the football naturally and those things. It seems to me like it'd be really tough to keep him in Green Bay on the practice squad after getting cut by the team that just drafted him in the fourth round a year ago. That's why I wonder if it's the right fit. But you know, certainly it's been a struggle. It's been a slog of a training camp for him.
Ryan, appreciate the time, man. As always, we'll talk next week, same time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 4:48.
All right, take care.
Take it easy. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.